To draw your attention tonight to Daniel chapter 1. Hopefully, not too many more days, my voice will lose this worn out sound and raspy sound. I have to speak Tuesday in youth service at camp meeting. Other than that, maybe I can rest it this week. Daniel chapter 1. There's a number of verses here. Actually, several of these chapters, the first half of the book anyway, is good reading material just to be encouraged to continue to press in the midst of the battle. We are in a conflict. Right against wrong. Light against darkness. It's been that way since basically the beginning of time. Sometimes we think that it may be more prevalent in our day and that we can't really do anything about it. But tonight I want to look at a man by the name of Daniel, and we are all familiar with this story, familiar with what takes place. But what I want to notice about him this evening is how he found such good favor with God. God's favor to Daniel. I want to begin reading with verse number 3 of chapter 1. And we'll be reading down through, jumping around here a little bit, and looking at various things. But here in chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us this: "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." That's a key element right there in that last phrase. They might teach the learning of the Chaldeans. In other words, they were wanting to take these people, these smart, intelligent, learned young people, and brainwash them into the Babylonian ways. That was their emphasis. That was their goal. That was what they purposed to do. To take the best of Israel and incorporate them right into the Babylonian ways and ideas, philosophies, the thinking that goes along with Babylon. Now, it's not too hard to translate that into modern language, is it? That we live in a world and we live in an era which has always been, but it's that same desire of the people of the world or of the world itself to take and conform people to its molds and to its ideals. That's what was taking place here. Verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." Now among these, not just simply these four, but among these that came from Jerusalem, there were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So we see the purpose unfolding here. They gave them even Babylonish names. They were already primed to make these four men, as well as the others, not Israelites, but Babylonians, to worship the Babylonian gods, to think like Babylonians, to perform like Babylonians, to function, to be completely conformed to what was going on in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom or in the Babylonian kingdom. But we'll find that there was something different about these four men. Chapter number 2, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. It's really a phenomenal story when you think about it, that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and then he couldn't remember what the dream was. He couldn't remember too much about anything there, and he surely didn't understand what it was about. But within all the wisdom of Babylon, he tried to get the understanding, but he could not find it until Daniel was brought before him. And Daniel told him all that he wanted to know about that first dream. Chapter 4, there was a second dream. And it's again an amazing story, only this time Nebuchadnezzar was prepared, I believe. He knew that there was somebody in his kingdom that could give him the answers that his heart was hungry for, that he was wanting to have. And so once again Daniel came, and once again Daniel gave him what he needed to know. Chapter 5 unfolds to us. There's a different king now. And in verse number 11, it's talking about the armless hand that was writing. That'd be enough to make any of our knees knock, wouldn't it? We would probably be stuttering around just a little bit too if we were to look up from our party or from our meal and see a hand, a bloodless, armless hand writing with its finger on the wall. Verse number 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. And your father, the king, made him to be the master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. And so Daniel tells him exactly what's written on the wall, and then he proceeds to tell him what it means. Chapter number 6, Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. It's a tragic end to this Daniel, isn't it? Surely he's going to die. Surely he's going to perish in the lion's den. Then this Daniel, verse number 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes, and it made everybody under him, those of the Babylonian garb and the Babylonian mind, it made them jealous. But Daniel, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm, but they tried to find some area of fault in him. You know the story. Daniel didn't die that night. Daniel came out a very live man the next morning. And it wasn't because those lions were not hungry, because as soon as the king did throw the other people in, those that were trying to conspire against Daniel, the lions devoured them before they even touched the bottom of the den. So it wasn't that they weren't hungry. But God had His favor upon Daniel. We could ask ourselves the question right here, why or how did Daniel obtain so much favor from God? Let's go back to chapter 2. We might be able to come to some kind of an understanding as to why and how Daniel obtained that favor from God. It wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't just because God looked over the corridor of heaven or over the banister of heaven and said, oh, let's see here, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'll take Daniel. And I'm going to pour out upon him all of this ability and all of this wisdom. That's not what took place. Though sometimes we may want to think that that's what God does with his gifts. But we'll find a key element in this particular chapter right here that'll give us an understanding of why God favored Daniel. Let's look at it. Chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Look at this next sentence. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Now I believe the key is hinged right in that one phrase, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Let's look at the word blessed. Help me out here a little bit. What does the word bless mean in this context? What do you think it means in this context? Praised? Anybody else want to add to, take away, or?
Exaltation?
Anybody else want to add here? We're on the right track. The word bless here, actually the word is blessed, but let's make it the root word, bless. The word bless means literally to honor as holy. Glorify. Praise and exaltation go right in those. To honor as holy, glorify. And then we take the literal word that is translated here in the King James, it's blessed or blessed. That word really means held in veneration or in reverence, revered, regard with awe and devotion. Have you ever been in a very powerful automobile? And people will say that it's awesome. You know, you take a V10 Viper 6-speed transmission and you put Brady behind the wheel and he is going to think it's awesome. You put me behind the wheel and it's pretty much the same way. Powerful automobiles. But when we use the word awesome in relationship to a Viper, a Dodge Viper, we are minimizing the word awesome. But when we think about the word awe or awesome in regard to God, then we have a whole new meaning. And this word blessed, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He was feeling within his heart a sense of awe, or his heart was being full of the awesomeness, the powerfulness of God. Which far exceeds, if I might add here, the power of a V10 engine in a Viper. Right after the infamous 9/11 took place, we began to see signs popping up all over the place, in yards and on cars and various places. Signs began to pop up that said, "God bless America." How many of you had one? Nobody had one. What does the word bless mean in that context? God bless America. Is it the same as it is in Daniel bless the God of heaven? It's not. So what does it mean? How does it differ in meaning? God bless America. Somebody help me out. That's good. That's what we're saying, isn't it? When we say God bless America, we are saying that we want God to confer well-being or prosperity on. What if we turned it around and said, America, bless God? Which really probably should have been the proper sign to put in the yard and on the automobiles after 9/11. Rather than crying out to God, oh God, bless us, bless us, bless us, maybe we should have said, America, turn around and start blessing God. What does that mean? Well, it means the same thing as it does when Daniel blessed the God of heaven. America should honor God as holy and glorify God as king and revere God as sovereign. And America, if I might say so tonight, does not do that as a whole. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I'm going to turn over here to Daniel chapter 6 again. I'm going to look at verses 10 and 11. The last part of 10. It tells us here that he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know what the context is here, don't you? The writing had been signed that nobody could petition anybody else, any God outside of the king for a certain number of days. And when Daniel found out about that writing and that it was signed, what did he do? He immediately went to his knees, not in a bold statement against it, but simply out of practice. God, you know where I'm at. I need your help right now in the midst of these circumstances. And gave thanks before God as it was his practice. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. This gives us a little bit better of an insight into the relationship that Daniel had with God. We will find from these verses that we've been looking at that Daniel blessed God with his words. Did you hear me? Daniel blessed God with his words. He was honoring God as holy. He was glorifying God. He was holding God in reverence and in awe and devotion. And he did it all with his words. But we also find that not only did he do it with his words, but he also blessed God with his devotion. He was devoted to God. What does it mean to be devoted? A single eye. A single eye towards. There's one big thing that keeps a person from being devoted to God. There's one thing that keeps a person from being devoted to God's plan and God's purpose, God's will. One thing. It has one letter in it. I. Self. But Daniel had arrived at the place somewhere in his young life that it didn't matter what came his way, it didn't matter what kind of problem he faced, he was devoted to God. He was sold out to go God's way. And as Daniel blessed the God of heaven with his words and with his devotion, what he was doing was acknowledging God as supreme. And take notice here that he came to God three times a day. We could probably learn some things off of people like Daniel. We could probably learn some things off of some other religions that surround us in this world today as well. You know, corporations, businesses have to give allowances to certain religious people because of their devotion to God. But somehow we miss it because we bow down and we cave in to the desires of the corporation rather than standing up and say, I'm a Christian and I'm devoted to God and I'm not doing it that way. We can argue all we want to about a lot of things, but Daniel was devoted to God, and it showed in everything he did. Now, there's a significant thought that comes along with his desire to see or to feel God or to go to God three times a day. You say, well, what could that possibly be? In his devotion to God, as it came out going to the Lord three times a day, I believe that we can very easily deduct from that Daniel's goal was to seek out the approval of God on his life. Seek out the approval of God on his life. At youth camp this week, as we've done for a number of years, there's an added incentive to help your team win at the end of the week by memorizing certain passages of Scripture. And this year, the book of Galatians is what I chose for them to memorize. And you have to memorize and quote at least five verses at a time. I have them broken up into segments, five and six verses at a time. So you just can't look at a verse and then quote it real quick and get counting for it. You have to actually memorize. And so they carry their Bible with them and they carry this card that has all of these segments listed on it, and they have to go to certain people, certain staff, to quote these verses. And when they are successful in saying that segment, that person, that staff member is supposed to put their signature and date beside it on the line. Did you hear me? They have to give their approval that it was done the way that it ought to be done. And then they get points, 5 points per verse, so 25 or 30 points per segment. One person learned the entire book of Galatians except for three of those segments this week. It's incredible. It's encouraging, really, to me. Another person, the second place winner, memorized a large portion. It was like 133 verses, I think, for the winner and 92 verses for the second place. A lot of verses memorized. And they had to have it approved, signed. Who is it that we go to have our life stamped or the signature placed before the or beside the portions of our life that we are living out? Who is it that signs those? Do we take that list to God and say, Lord, is this approving to you? Or is this pleasing to you? Am I approved in your sight? Daniel went to God for his approval, not the king's approval. Did you notice that in these passages early on that Daniel was supposed to be pleasing to the king? That's why the menu was given the way it was, because it was supposed to be the best menu available. And when they stood before the king would recognize them as being healthy according to their standards. Daniel didn't go by the king's approval ratings. He went by God's approval ratings. Chapter 1. Again, verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. That is a profound statement. I wish that somehow every one of those campers at youth camp this past week would be able to feel that verse, that portion of the verse for themselves. So many of them going back into inner city situations in Lansing and Kokomo and right across the way here in Bicknell. It's a horrible situation that some of these kids come from. And one of the young boys came up to me with tears streaming down his face as it was time for him to get on the bus and head home. He said, oh, I've got to go back home to all that mess. Drugs and immorality and
garbage all around on every front. He said, I've got to leave here and go home. Can't we have youth camp another week?
But if they can understand, and if we can understand, right here is the biggest part of the battle. Daniel purposed in his heart. Isn't that what it takes?
When the enemy comes washing in like a flood, and when he comes storming in like an army, when he comes in with everything that he has against us, it's easy to throw in the towel unless we have it settled in our heart. Daniel purposed that he would not be defiled.
That means that indicates to me that there is a sacrifice of selfish pleasure to be pleasing to God. Scratch that into the memory of your mind there. Sacrifice selfish pleasure to be pleasing to God. Not conformed to the trend of the day, nor was he conformed to the customs of the day. Even though when the eunuch came to him in verse number 10 and said, oh, if you don't do this, I'm going to lose my head. Daniel purposed in his heart. Could we paraphrase it a little bit further and say that Daniel was surrendered to God? It was no longer I, as Paul said, but Christ living within me. Daniel was surrendered to God and he sought out God's continual support or approval. Now let's turn this question right into our own thinking. What about me? What about me? You see, Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't purpose based on his feeling or his emotions. Feelings and emotions will get us into trouble many times. I don't feel bad when I do that. That doesn't mean that it's right. You know, I imagine the king's meat and the king's wine tasted pretty good. I imagine it did. I don't feel bad when I do that. But Daniel's purpose came from deep within his heart, and deep within his heart was a solid realization, a purpose, a conviction based upon his ideals concerning God, who he is and what he is. The book of Psalms, Division 106, verses 13 and 14 and 15 tell us this. This is a summary here of Israel's rebellion and God's mercy. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request. Oh, doesn't that just stir you? Doesn't that just bless your heart that God answers prayer? But sent leanness into their soul. You know, there's some things that we can do, and God will probably say, yes, you can do them. But the end result is not what we were looking for. I suppose that Daniel and his three friends could have done some things that they purposed not to do simply because they did not want to lose any portion of God's approval whatsoever. They wanted to maintain the fullness of their soul in their relationship with God. I am amazed at how quickly some people can throw aside the things that we've so long maintained. And say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. God doesn't have anything to say about that. I don't feel bad when I do that. Maybe not. But look at what they did. What is said here? They forgot his works. They waited not for him. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their requests, but brought leanness to their soul. Paul tells Timothy in his second epistle, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I was talking with someone yesterday. No need to mention any names or even where I was talking to them, but somebody mentioned them seeing who they thought was some of you people playing soccer Tuesday evening. I said, "Well, I saw somebody over there at the school playing ball." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, they were playing." I said, "Was it Tuesday night?" "Yeah." "Well, that was soccer night." And in the midst of that conversation, it was said in hushed tones because there was people around that this person thought it was our church people because they were in dresses. As though I would be ashamed of it. I said, "Oh yeah, that was us." It wasn't me, but I'll count myself in. "That was our people. You're right, that was our people. Dresses." The afflictions. Isn't it just a hardship to have to be so different from this world that they whisper because we're so different, thinking that we're ashamed of the way we are? Where did they get that idea? Daniel purposed in his heart, and it didn't matter if he was out here on the street or if he was in the presence of the king, he was going God's way and he was going to have God's approval. How about us? How about me? God's favor to Daniel came with a price. It wasn't, as I said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Daniel, I caught him by the... Boy, that's just bad stuff there. That's not what happened. Daniel purposed in his heart. We want God's favor. We can purpose in our heart too. And we can make it with full approval from God in every area of our life. Stand with me, please.